Hey everybody, I'm Kate Conroy.
And I'm Vinny Sotella.
And this is Other People's Business, which is the podcast from the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. We started the pod because we wanted you to be able to get to know our membership and us a little better and maybe even learn something new along the way. We're broadcasting today on location in Red Bank, New Jersey at Priority Payments Local, which is the first time we've ever done that, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, a little terrifying for me as the guy that's going to mix it all together. Hopefully it'll sound okay.
We have a special guest today, Angelo Mendola of Priority Payments Local.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me and thank you for being here today.
Excellent. Shout out to Angelo, who's an affinity partner with BIA, which means members get a special discount when they do their credit card processing through Priority. So, first icebreaker, you are a foodie, Angelo. And so I thought a really good question to stump you with would be, what is your favorite instant food? And if you need a moment to think about this, I'm going to make Vinny go first.
Sure. So I'm a big microwavable food guy. I love the White Castle burgers. They sell them like individually.
And how is that instant food? Instant is like you add water.
See, I don't think I eat anything like that though. Like I've never been like a big ramen guy. I don't even know what is oatmeal instant. Like what, I'm trying to think of things you would add water to, but all I keep coming back to is like, I'm very lazy in the way that I just like grab stuff out of the freezer, pop it in the microwave for like 30 seconds, and I'm good. So yeah.
So you can buy White Castle burgers to throw in your freezer?
Is absolutely, that a thing? It's divinity.
Divinity?
Yes.
How have I never tried it if it's divinity?
Well, if you have to be like a fan of White Castle burgers to begin with. Like, yeah. It's not going to make them inherently better, but like Ilio's Pizza, stuff like that, like, you know.
So is White Castle the brand where you buy like a sack full of hamburgers?
Yes. Yeah.
That's crazy.
How many do you think you can eat? Have you ever tried that before?
Like when I was little, my uncle used to show up with like a sack full. And yeah. But they must be really small, right?
They call them suitcases
well,
now.
They're sliders, basically.
Yeah. Suitcases they
suitcases
call them?
Suitcases now. Yeah. You get a sack of 40.
There's the Crave case.
Crave case.
30.
Yeah.
30?
So, yeah. My wife, Tara, she actually, the last time we went to White Castle, which was actually like a while ago, she, you know how you're not supposed to like order food or anything while you're really hungry? So she ordered a Crave case, which is 30 double cheeseburgers. Ooh. For the two of us.
Oh my God.
And it was just like even I mean, you don't want to like judge your wife, but like the judgy look was just like coming off me in sheets. And I'm just like, what is the matter with you? There's two of us here. Like,
that is fantastic. What did she respond to your judgment?
No, we, hey, look, I mean, like I gave the looks, but she went ahead with it. And you know, it's so funny that the people, because you can watch them make your food. They have the little window and everything. Uh-huh. And even they, it looked like they were so judgy about it. They're like, you know, the
there's two only
of them.
Two of you.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but you're like, it's okay, we've got
to
part
it. So at that point, it was just funny for me to just like follow the ride, you know, like let it go. Like just kind of look at her because she, at some point while they were making all these, you know, it clicked in her and she started getting like really embarrassed about it. And I just thought that
and that's
was
when
really
you ordered
funny.
The Diet Coke. Yes, yeah.
All right, Angelo, what is your favorite instant food?
Well, thank you for asking, but contrary to Vin, I'm a big ramen fan. You know why? Because you could pop that bag open and you got some really cool noodles.
Yeah.
So what I tend to do is I take that little powder pack and I throw that thing out. And being the foodie that I am, I still boil the water. I still cook the ramen, but I kind of make my own sauce. Oh. Take a little chicken stock, a little sriracha, maybe chop up some chicken, a little bit of beef in there if you can. And that's my favorite instant food. It's not so instant, but it's instant enough.
That's amazing. You make your own sauce.
Yeah, why not? I try to make my own. I think at about 10:30 last night, I had a craving for some pasta, and I went down to my kitchen. My wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm hungry. So she went back to sleep at that point, and I made myself a nice dish of pasta.
That's incredible. And I love the ingredients, the chicken stock and the ramen, or yeah. the sriracha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That so sounds amazing.
You could put sriracha on anything. It's like
totally
that commercial.
Agree.
It should be sriracha's commercial.
Right? That's right? I am a huge fan of sriracha.
I think I've seen the guys in the office here before. You know, they do these diet contests, not the Crave case contest.
Oh, hey, you know, it's a very different ball game there. The diet contest versus eating 30 double sliders. You know?
And through one of these contests, one of our senior consultants actually took about 15 cucumbers, chopped them up, put them in a bowl with sriracha sauce and a little garlic powder and olive oil, and that was lunch for the crew. So that's like, you know, you got to come up with these things, and sriracha could definitely go on anything.
That's incredible. Cucumber and sriracha.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. Now it's a family fave.
I believe it. Huh. All right, so mine is a little random. So I don't know if you remember that show on, God, I guess it was VH1, the Osbournes?
Sure.
Okay. So I used to watch it because I thought it was funny. But I remember one season, Kelly Osbourne was walking around the house all season eating Easy Mac. And I was like, wait a second. The taste of boxed macaroni and cheese, but just add water? Like, you don't have to do the stick of butter. You don't have to use the stove. You don't have to.
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God. It changed my life. And I remember, I bought a lot of it. And then I ate a lot of it that summer, and I loved it. But then eventually, you know what happens when you eat so much Easy Mac? Your pants don't fit. So I eventually,
oh, no.
I eventually had to stop. I think I cut it out cold turkey. But oh my God, I still have, you know, moments where I think fondly back to my Easy Mac. Love it.
I think everybody in America at some point or another has had a moment where macaroni and cheese has just like changed their life. If you're listening to this and you haven't yet, trust me, it's coming. But, you know, or you just haven't had really good mac and cheese. I'm surprised for you it was boxed Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Know.
But hey, to each their own.
Yeah. I mean, I do have like a homemade recipe for real mac and cheese where you start with a roux and like it's amazing, but in a pinch.
A lot of pans, a lot of cooking has evolved in making your own mac and cheese. It's usually worth it though.
Totally worth it.
When you have kids, I have kids 4 years old and 2 years old. I mean, they eat mac and cheese probably like 6 times a week. It's the easiest thing. They crave it, right? Yeah. So every time you make a little bit of it, you save a little bit in the pan for yourself. So we've all gone through that, like you said.
Absolutely. When I make it for real, okay, so after you put it into the casserole to bake, I slice up chunks of cheddar and I stick them in there for like little melting pockets of cheese on the inside.
Is it lunchtime yet?
I know, right? Sorry. Okay, we should stop.
Yeah, right? So our first serious question. So I noticed, you know, in the last like few years or so, credit card processing has kind of changed. Like it used to just be you swiped a card. Then they added like the Apple and the Android Pay. And then we went to the chip. So what's it like kind of staying on top of an industry like that where it's constantly changing?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually changing every day. I mean, we keep up on certain articles and we actually write and publish articles in our business. And the business is changing every day. And you know why? Merchants.
I'm going to tell you.
I think that's why you asked me the question.
Yes. Right?
I'm going to tell you. You know, our merchants have different needs, you know, and the businesses are evolving. Brick and mortar is becoming less and less of the typical business. People tend to buy things the easiest way, and shopping online has become one of the biggest things that changed our lives. You know, there are still some retail stores that will continue to thrive, and a lot of them don't sell online. But that's really what sparked a lot of changes in our industry. You know, having a website and being able to sell stuff and ship stuff from a virtual perspective isn't as easy as just building a website. You're building a shopping cart, you need a merchant processor that could connect to the shopping cart, and you need a tremendous amount of security features. You know, when it comes to security with card present transactions, we have the new EMV protocol out there. But on an online transaction, there is no card. There's no person either. It's a virtual transaction. So having these 3D capture scenarios with MasterCard or Visa puts out this secure network to verify that's a bona fide transaction. So that's where this business is evolving. So you see companies out there that are going more and more virtual, even at the way they take transactions in front of you. Now today, I see you have your phone and your wallet right on top of each other. They're both equally as important to you now. 10 sure. years ago, you didn't have a phone.
Actually, I was even thinking about leaving my wallet in the car. I'll just take it with me. You know, like the phone, I would never even think about that, but yeah.
Hey, your phone is now your wallet as well.
Yeah.
You know, you have your Google wallet, you have your Apple wallet. I mean, that's really where the business has gone. You mentioned Apple Pay and Android Pay. Those have actually been around for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You know, the contactless payments. So with having all these new technologies, we need different hardware. So now there are companies out there that build hardware. They want to come out with the latest and greatest, the coolest looking. So that's why the business is always changing. But more and more because of the virtual environment that's being created by every business out there. That's really where the changes are happening the most.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling Kate the other day, like I was at a Wendy's, and this is an example of how fast this technology is changing. All my life, I've been doing the swipe. And then, what was it, last October we introduced the chip?
Yeah.
Or at least that was when it became mandated to use. I don't know if it was around before that. But so really only for the last year, we've been doing this chip thing. So I'm at Wendy's, and they ask for the money, and I'm kind of like fishing around for where I put in the chip thing. They didn't have the little terminal that you do the chip. And I just forgot how to be human for a minute. Like, I'm like, what do I do? Like, and she reaches out for my card, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, yeah. And I gave it to her. And it was just one of those, like, really dumb moments. But it was just like, wow, it changed so fast. And, you know, it's I completely forgot. Like, mm-hmm. all my life I've been swiping, and now that's a thing of the past,
right.
you know?
That's hilarious. All right, I think we're going to take a break on that hilarious note. We'll be right back.
Sure. And we're back. So, Angelo, you guys here at Priority Payments are really good at credit card processing. Tell me what you're really bad at. Not you as Priority Payments, but you as Angelo.
Oh, boy. This is a tough one. I've been asked this before, and the last time I think I had to phone a friend and call my wife. It's pretty hard to sit down and think about, you know, the things that you can possibly be bad at. And I think the thing that I'm the worst at right now is managing time. You know, everything's important to me. Everything. Every person, everything I have in my life is super important to me. And that balance is probably one of the most, the hardest things to achieve as a professional. And we all know that, right? Mm-hmm. We want to get home to our kids. We also want to get to work. There's always work hanging over our heads. But what I've been really bad at lately is figuring out what time to get up and get in the car to drive to certain places. I've been living in New Jersey for the last actually 6 months, but working here for, you know, close to 15 years. Everything's like 15 minutes away. You ask another Jerseyan, you know, how far is this from this? They're like, 15, 20 minutes. Right? That's always been the rule of thumb. But then you get in the car, you pop it into the navigation, it's like 47 minutes. Like, oh boy, I'm going to be late.
Yeah.
So planning ahead for travel time, that's really what I'm bad at lately. If you ask anyone here, I mean, I think you guys waited for me for about 30 minutes today. I mean,
Not even.
Okay, good. So you got here late too then. but that's something that I'm really bad at, determining travel time.
Oh, that's a really good one. Mine is actually also related to cars. Parking. I swear to God, I can parallel park like a boss. But just like driving my car in between two straight lines, it defeats me every single time.
That's like, kind of like saying, I can do advanced calculus, but addition, you know? That's what throws me off.
I swear to God, I wish I were lying. I wish I were, you know, making it up. But I have to forgive myself on a daily basis because otherwise I would just beat myself up over
so
it.
So do you have those like big bumpers in the back of your car and the big bumper in the front of the car just in case you smash into someone backing in?
No, but I...
Is it specific to right side parking or left side parking?
No, it's not.
Yeah, like when they have the diagonals, you know?
Not at all. No. But I am always like touching the
what is curb?
The curb. I'm always pulling in too far.
And then you hear that crunch.
Right,
and then
your rims look really nice.
Right, because I'm always trying to like get the wheel straighter. I'm trying to like pull in straighter, and I'm hoping I've got like one more inch to do that with, and I never do.
At least your, you know, I'm bad at this thing is something that like in 10 years nobody's going to have to worry about. Like we all have like self-parking cars like on the horizon.
Is that really a thing though?
I think it is. Like I think like Teslas and everything will parallel park themselves. Now, you had mentioned like parallel parking being okay and like regular. But I mean, if they can drive you from like LA to New York, you know, they can park in, you know, the ShopRite parking lot.
That freaks me out. I mean, I don't know if I'm comfortable with letting another, like a machine that thinks it's smarter than me, park my car.
Skynet,
exactly. You know, I was just gonna say I'm a big Terminator fan, so I don't know. Like, I don't like the idea of trusting, you know, the machines.
Yeah.
But for the very reason that it happened in the movies, you know, I'm kind of like complacent in that. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't mind like a computer like taking this on my hands.
Tesla, Elon Musk just addressed like a governor's association and talked about AI as like a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He's like nervous about it. If he's nervous about it, I'm nervous about it.
The guys that are creating AI are the ones that are flipping out about it.
Yes. You know,
Stephen Hawking actually said that would be like the doom. That's when
Skynet. That's right. He was the other one.
Yeah, he actually talked about Skynet. So if you're a big Terminator fan, I'm sure that we're pretty nervous about that.
Yes, I think about it all the time. I mean, even like in situations where things are okay. Like, you ever see the movie Her? With Scarlett Johansson?
No, I don't think I heard
so
about
that
it.
Was like a good AI movie.
Right.
And I still walked away from that movie thinking like 6 months after the events of that movie, everybody's dead.
Well, Ex Machina. Do you remember Ex Machina?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God, that movie. That
was another one where like the AI went bad. But,
She broke bad.
Yeah. I think she was bad the whole time and like we just didn't
know it, I think you're right. I think she was bad. But did he make her bad or once she became...
No, I think she was manipulating him the whole time.
Yeah. Man, okay, we went off on a tangent. What are you bad at then?
What am I bad at? Oh, so, I mean, we talked about foodie stuff before, you know, like, and you mentioned that I'm into fast food. I am. And the reason for that is that I'm a really bad cook. And, like, you even mentioned before, like, you know, I'll call my wife or whatever. Tara actually submitted me to that show, America's Worst Cooks, or whatever it is on the Food Network. She wrote, like, a 2-page essay. We have a PG podcast. I can't exactly tell you what I said to her after she did that, but I was like, seriously, you wrote a 2-page essay on how bad of a cook I am?
Did she tell you she was going to do this, or did she just do it? And
she was. I just saw her like trolling away on her laptop for like an hour while she was watching this show, and I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm writing a submission. And I was like, a submission for what? She's like, for you. And I'm like, wait a minute. Exactly what are we talking about here? And she's like, oh, I think you'd be great on this show. And so I started watching it because I'd never seen it before. And it's basically like Rachel Ray yelling at people for like a half an hour, like about how bad cooks they are. Like it seems so weird. They bring people on this show who acknowledge the fact that they are terrible cooks, and then they yell at them about it. So right. I'm like, how does that help anybody?
That sounds awful.
And then I'm looking at like the eligibility and everything on the website that she's filling out the thing for. You have to take like a month off and go do this. And I'm like, if I'm gonna take like a sabbatical from work for like a month, do you really think I'm gonna spend it doing something I admittedly don't like doing, and then just have Rachel Ray yell at me for like the whole month? No.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah, no, it's horrible.
I mean, are you really that bad? Like,
probably.
Because I've seen the show before, and they're pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so on the show, they find these people that are like, I don't even know what a spoon is.
Right.
And I don't know how much of that is them just like pandering to the cameras, and how much of it is like, really, they don't know what a spoon is. But like, I don't know. I guess it's because it's not something I do a lot, you know, like, so the few times that I've tried have all been like pretty epic fails, but yeah.
Wow, epic fails.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. You know, like when people go on Pinterest and they see something that's like, oh, I could do that, and they try it and it like turns out like pretty mutant bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's me even making basic food.
Wow.
Like,
can you make bacon? Can you boil?
I've never tried to make bacon before. I don't want to ruin the bacon. You know, like, bacon is a sacred thing.
Bacon.
You shouldn't mess with if you don't know what you're doing.
So this is funny because in episode two, mm-hmm. you totally called out your mom for being a terrible cook.
I did.
And
so
now
you know
you're
what?
Admitting...
Like, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I should say, like, as bad as she is, you know, like, at least she tries. So, yeah.
Well, she doesn't try so much as she buys food and then pretends she made it.
She does that when company comes over, but on a day-to-day basis, she really did try.
Like, I see.
I gotta give her the credit where credit is due. I don't even do that, so.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why I wind up at Wendy's and McDonald's all the time.
That is hilarious. Yeah. Okay, all right, so speaking of the chip, ever since the whole chip change happened, I've sort of been waiting for my life to feel more secure, and I feel like I'm still waiting. So what is the deal? Are we supposed to feel more secure? It feels like anybody could steal my card and just be like, oh, popping in the chip, I'm Kate, you know, not a big deal. Mm. What's the deal with that?
So there is a pretty big deal with that.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a council that met over the EMV. So EMV stands for Eurocard, MasterCard, and Visa. This was this council that was taking a technology that was being used in Canada and Europe for quite some time now. And in the US, we were still using the strips on the back of your card. That strip held a lot of information on it. Your cards still have it now, just until the migration is completed. That strip actually holds a lot of information. It holds your card number, your name, and your expiration date. And that's why at some points people ask you for the last three on the back, because it's not on the strip. Now, going with the EMV helped mitigate some fraud that was happening. So that fraud was folks that would steal your card, make a copy of it, and or just the strip, and were able to now go in and use the card. The chips are almost near impossible to copy. And it also alleviated the fraud security of someone copying your card with those machines that could actually do that. These were magstrip copiers that simply by going a couple inches from your pocket, I could grab the information off that strip. So what the chip does is it makes the copying of cards virtually impossible. So the reason why you don't feel 100% secure...
I was actually going to say, you can't see it if you're on the air. This is actually a wallet that I bought that is supposed to block that. Like, it's like this little fortress thing
it's
that
like
blocks
Superman
somebody
wallet.
From, like, copying the thing off your credit card. But, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, those are precautions that you would have had to take. But the banks were the ones that were actually feeling the most. Remember, zero fraud liability from your credit card? That still exists today.
Oh, yeah.
But if the merchant that accepted your card didn't use a chip and instead used the magstrip, the liability's on them. So you mentioned mandate before. It actually wasn't a mandate. It was a liability shift. It was the bank saying, hey, we're no longer going to be liable if it wasn't a chip transaction. So they created this fraud scenario called chip liability. Now, reason why it still sounds kind of silly, because I could still take your card without you knowing it, go to a gas station and get some gas, right?
Yeah.
Or I can take your whole wallet and go buy anything I want online, right? Because there's no chip online. But the reason why it's like that now is because you can't change everyone's world, right? So right now, or let's say a year ago before the liability shift, you went into a store, they swiped your card, gave it back, and you were out, right? You signed the receipt and you were gone. Now this whole thing about people putting cards into the chip, Vin, you mentioned before, you're at Wendy's, you didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Swipe chip, do I bang it on the thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So that's what happens to society. You gotta do things in drips and drabs. The same thing you do with children, but they treat society the same way. So ultimately, the end goal for EMV, and if you've ever been to Canada, if you've been to Canada recently, the last couple of years, even at a restaurant, the server will bring you a credit card terminal with your bill. And you put the card in yourself and enter a PIN, just like a PIN debit transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So your checking card, your debit card, right? We call them check cards, right? They have a PIN to it. So does your credit card. You just may not know it. You know, when you activate a credit card, they ask you to set up a PIN, and 99% of people just skip right over that. Why do I need a PIN for my credit card? I have a debit card, right? I would get cash from the ATM that way. So what EMV ultimately is going to be is going to be chip and PIN versus chip and signature.
Mm.
So one big piece of fraud has been thrown away, which is the copying of cards, right? Now the next would be, let's get everyone kind of familiar with putting the card in instead of swiping it. Now let's get everyone comfortable with putting in a PIN number during the transaction as well.
So it's going to be a two-part process as opposed to just put the chip in and be done.
And that's right, because the ultimate goal is to completely mitigate fraud, eradicate it.
I actually thought that the reason for it was to like mitigate against germs. Cause you ever hear that? Like how,
what?
Yeah, like seriously, like how your credit card and money are like really bad because like you hand them to all these different people, they hand it back to you all.
Oh.
So I thought that by me sticking it into the thing and never handing it to somebody else,
their germs
I
went
was,
on your
yeah,
card.
I wasn't yes. getting, but now that I'm putting my PIN in, then I guess that eliminates that.
So, so now Vin, you're actually a little bit on the right track there. Technically per cardholder agreements, no one should touch your card but you.
Right.
That's why this whole put your own card in yourself and put your own PIN in and take the card out exists. So you're kind of on the right track. We could call germs
just completely wrong, but yeah, on the
so,
right track.
Speaking of which, whenever I go to a gas station, I always try to have cash because I hate handing my card to somebody and having them walk away with it,
mm-hmm.
put it into some machine that I can't quite see because it's usually behind me because that's mm-hmm. where the gas tank is, and then having them bring it back to me and me just trusting that they didn't zip
picture,
it through
right?
something else or take a picture. Yeah, so that, I mean, is that going to change with gas stations as well eventually?
Well, you live in New Jersey, so you probably never pumped your own gas before.
Well, I'm from Minnesota, so
okay.
I grew up pumping, but now when I have to pump my own gas when I'm out of state, I do such a bad job of it. People
yeah.
laugh at me.
I did it for the first time a couple months ago. Not the first time. All right, so the first time I did it was like 2009.
Yeah.
Then not at all. And then a month or two ago. So I had my phone out and I had WikiHow out and I was like, all right, what am
no,
I doing?
WikiHow!
I did it. Yeah, because I didn't want to look like a moron, but then I was like looking at the phone while I do this is totally going to make me look like a moron. But maybe I can pretend that I'm like, I don't know, I'm checking Facebook while I'm doing this.
That's
you know, like,
hilarious.
Yeah.
So adorable.
Yeah.
I've actually been in a situation recently. I was in Staten Island, New York, and a lady in a convertible pulls up with a door in the car, and they're like waiting there for a couple minutes. And I'm pumping gas. I'm like, they're looking for someone to come pump their gas.
Oh
so I
God.
Lean over. I'm like, this is self-service. What's that?
What's
look
that?
At the license plate,
what's
New Jersey.
That?
I said, you pump your own gas. I said, come on, let's go. Get up. I'll show you how to do it. I didn't want to touch her card because of the way I think of things. She
yeah.
put her card in. She goes, now what? I said, watch this. You open up the flap. You unscrew the thing. You take the pump. You put it in. You choose which gas you want. She's like, which gas do I want? I said, do you want the really
well,
good
don't
gas?
Don't you say that like every time you pull up, like, you know, regular.
Regular, yeah.
Right, but they have numbers. They say 89, 91,
that's
93.
Right, the 89.
So the pump doesn't say regular, premium,
sure.
super. It says the number on top. The price says it. So which one do I want? I said, I don't know. Do you want good gas or do you want cheap gas? She goes, no, I want the good gas. So I put it in. I show her even, I took her like on level 12. I took her to 20-30 with this one. I showed her how to put the gas cap in between the gas pump so she didn't have to hold on to it
oh
too.
Oh my God.
So she's like,
that's the pro tip right there.
Right.
Yeah. She said, oh my God, that's amazing. I said, okay, I have to leave, but when you're done, put the cap back on and put the thing back and just drive away. She's like, okay, great. And the daughter was like watching, she's videotaping. She probably posted it to Facebook while we were doing it. And I was just, I left shaking my head. I said, I can't believe there's people out there throwing up gas.
You know, all right, in our defense,
right.
like first of all, okay, so if I go too far out of the state, I fly.
Yeah.
If I go far enough into, like let's say Pennsylvania or New York, where I know I can fill up before I leave the New Jersey border, I'll do that. But like, all right, let's just say I'm bagging my own groceries and I screw that up. Maybe like I break some eggs. Maybe I accidentally put the meat in with
right.
something I shouldn't. Let's say I screw up pumping gasoline, which is a flammable
yeah.
explosion causing like
all right.
substance. You know?
Can
like,
I just tell you?
That's scary stuff.
One of the last times I did that, I totally screwed it up. I was in Saratoga Springs, New York, actually a little suburb outside, and I had not filled up on my way out of Jersey. So once I got into town, I was on fumes. I had to fill up. So you know how like you can squeeze the trigger thing and then you can like stick the flap down so that it holds and then you don't have to like squeeze the whole thing while it's pumping gas. So I did that. After it stopped or in the middle, I don't know what possessed me to do this. I pulled it out while the thing was still locked. I gave myself a gasoline bath. It was worst.
You nearly died in a freak gasoline fight accident like in Zoolander.
Thank God nobody was smoking a cigarette nearby because it would have been a Zoolander-esque flame
fall. Freak gasoline fight accident.
It was horrible. And I stank that whole weekend. I stank like gasoline the whole weekend. Yeah, it was all over my car. It was the worst. But we've sidetracked a lot. So so again, how do we make the chip safe at a gas station?
Well, currently, this current scenario is going to exist that way.
Right.
It's going to stay like that for probably a good amount of time until we have some pay at the pump, pay at the table style processing where your gas station attendant is going to bring a terminal over to you and put your card in it right there and then. That's the safest way to process a credit card. Now, the thing about it is that those pieces of hardware cost money. So migrating over could actually end up costing you more money than what that hardware cost. So if it's the difference of buying a couple hundred dollar terminal, if you're with a good processor or a BIA member, you come with priority, your terminal's free, right? So, but if your processor's charging you for it, it could be a couple $100. Now, you're thinking couple $100 out of pocket versus the liability I have for fraudulent transactions could be thousands of percent difference. So spending the money up front to buy the equipment will definitely save you money along the way and help you feel safe. If you had a choice of a gas station that you knew took your card and walked away with it versus the one that comes to your window with the terminal, someone like you, Kate, is probably going to go with that one. So it's a difference of comfort for the cardholder. And we all are always scared about fraud in many different ways. How many times did someone ask you for your social security number over the phone and you just gave it to them? Yeah. You know, we don't do any of that. I mean, our emails are so secure here that if you send us a credit card number or a social security number, it quarantines that email. You know, we don't want that information out, just like you don't.
Mm-mm. So before we move on to our last question, how can people get in touch with you?
So we easily contacted. You could contact us easily by calling our 800 number, which is 800-717-1250. A lot of folks like to go to our website, which is pplocal.com. That's like PriorityPaymentsLocal.com. We have a contact us page. We also have a form fill that once you fill that out, one of our merchant consultants will contact you immediately to answer any questions or concerns or actually sign you up right there on the spot. Where we try to make it very easy for you to see us as well. We're on Facebook and Instagram. And those are the ways you can see the fun stuff that's happening at Priority and a lot of our product announcements as well.
Awesome.
I will say that I visited one of your Instagram accounts and it is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I got to pride myself on hiring the best marketing team in the industry for putting those blogs up and putting our Instagram feeds up. So shout out to Marissa.
Yes. Hey, Marissa. Excellent. Absolutely hilarious. Awesome stuff. All right. So last question. What are you hoping for this week?
What am I hoping for? Are you talking about the fight Saturday?
I wasn't, but...
That's what I'm looking towards, Saturday's fight.
Let's go Conor McGregor.
Wow. You know, somebody posted on Facebook about the fight happening, and it was before the eclipse, and I was like, the sun is going to fight the moon. It was, you know...
It's okay.
I missed that meme. That's the meme I missed.
So you're hoping that you're going to see the fight? You're going to go to the fight?
Oh, I'm definitely going
to
see the fight.
Are you going or are you just watching on?
No. I was looking on eBay for some tickets and they were like $200,000 for a couple front row seats. Forget that one.
So
if someone wanted to invite me, give me my email address.
Now I need to know who is fighting. How is that $200,000?
So this is go ahead, man.
No, you take it.
Okay, so this is the first time in history that a mixed martial arts fighter is crossing over into boxing. So you have the two legends in both of their sports, Floyd Money Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, fighting each other in a boxing match. And it's been a long-awaited fight. I think Conor was on Conan O'Brien like 2 years ago and asked him, who would you want to fight if you had a pick? And he said, Floyd Mayweather. 2 years later, here we are. I think the purse is like $600 million. And you have two very vocal fighters fighting each other.
Inflammatory?
Their press conferences have been some of the best. Just that they're going to be better than the fight.
They're talking a lot of smack.
Yeah, there's a lot of smack going back and forth. So typically, like the person I am, I don't like to leave my house for any sporting event. So thankfully, I have enough theater area in my basement in my living room to have about 35 people over. So I'm going to get a nice keg of beer, some good food, a 6 foot hero. I'm going to sit on my couch and watch, fights from 8 p.m. to about 1 a.m. because that's when that fight goes off.
Really?
So the safe money is on Mayweather because everybody believes that in a just a natural fight where like anybody's going to do whatever, you know, McGregor would obviously win because, right. you know, he's got the experience in doing whatever. But in a boxing match where, you know, you're There's restricted rules. To the, I think there are 12 rules in boxing, Mayweather would be the one that has like the upper
I mean, they're
hands.
Talking about conditioning too. I mean, MMA is five-minute rounds, and then you have boxing, which is 12 three-minute rounds. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about like an 11-minute, if it were to go the distance, but Floyd has not gone the distance, and that's where he wins. If it goes the distance, technically, I think Floyd will win, but if Connor says and does what he says he's going to do, he said a knockout inside four yes. rounds.
What is it, Scottish accent?
Is he British?
Saying? He's Scottish.
Yeah, Scottish? Yeah.
He's Irish, I'm sorry. He's Irish. You can't mix those up.
No, they get upset.
Yeah, he's the Erie.
My people get upset.
Yeah. So that's what I was hoping for. If you had a different question about what I was hoping for.
No, that's a great answer. What are you hoping for, Vin?
I'm stealing that.
You know,
a few episodes ago, I said I don't really watch sports anymore, and I don't, but like I am pretty interested in MMA, so I follow that. I took Taekwondo for a few years in the last couple years or so. I need to get back into it, but like I followed Ronda Rousey really closely. Like, yeah. It's a shame what happened to her, but like I'm really pulling for her to maybe, I don't know, either come back or do something else.
No, I think she's
like,
done.
I think she's probably done. She might come back and do something like WWE or something, like, because right. she's really into that. But I just hate for like such an awesome career like that to just end on a whimper. But, you know, we'll see.
I almost want to ask what happened, but we've already spent so much time
on MMA when our audience probably doesn't care at all. But.
So, Kate, what are you hoping for this week?
All right, so I fly to Minnesota on Saturday, and I feel like there is so much that I have to do this week, and it's Wednesday right now, that I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. And that's, I'm just talking work-related. I'm not even talking about like packing and laundry and getting my personal stuff together in order to be ready to actually get on a plane to go anywhere. So I'm really hoping that I can just get my act together and be on the plane when I'm supposed to be on the plane, because missing it would be bad.
Yeah, the plane's leaving with or without.
Right, exactly. I remember one time I was so distracted getting to the airport that I went to the wrong terminal. Mm-hmm. And I was cutting it close for some reason. I was running late. And so I literally, you know, at Newark, there are three terminals. You have to take the air tram. Mm-hmm.
The A, B, and the C area.
I literally almost missed the plane because I was at like C and I was supposed to be at A, and I had to go all the way around. Oh my God, it was the worst. So traumatic. I'm really hoping. Yeah, it was traumatic. So I'm really hoping I can get my act together and make it to the plane, because it's been a while. I need to see some Minnesota.
Hmm. Yeah. So it occurs to me that this episode is going to air long after the fight that we've been talking about. So, yeah. So hopefully everybody in the audience that was pulling for one person or another, you know, that went well for you.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to listen to this and we'll like reminisce. We'll be like, oh, remember how Kate made the plane? Remember who yes. won?
Yeah.
All right. I think that's our show.
That's our show. So, you know, we subscribe, you know, rate us on iTunes, Google Play, everywhere that you can. If you really want to support the show, share it with your friends, you know, like tell people that you have a great time every couple weeks listening to this show. It'd mean a lot to us.
Yeah, we would really appreciate it. And the early subscribers are doing just that. We really appreciate all the buzz out there. It's making us feel all warm and fuzzy. Thanks, Angelo Mendola of Priority Payments Local, and Marissa for making this happen today. If you take credit cards, you're a member, and you want to investigate whether or not you can get a discount, give them a call. What's the website again, Angelo?
pplocal.com, or you could call us at 800-717-1250. And our NJBIA members can log into njbiasso.com for your automatic sign up.
That's awesome. All right.
And I was actually just thinking, around this time in the episode every week, we talk about how like you can write into the email address and tell us what we're doing wrong. Nobody's actually done that, which is great. You know, maybe we're just not doing anything wrong. OPB@njbia.org, other people's business, OPB@njbia.org. I was thinking, if you have a question you want Kate and I to answer, like one of these little icebreakers we do, why not just write into that? Since we're not getting any like bad feedback, let's use it for that. Maybe if you give us a great question and we do it, we'll give you credit on the air.
Absolutely. Also, we said at one point that if you write a review on iTunes, if you write us a really nice review, we'll give you a shout out. We'll do a call out to your business and we'll read the review on air.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Awesome. All right, we'll see you next time.
Later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.